Hi, good day, everyone, and welcome to our last Senior Care podcast. My name is Tia Briscoe, and I work for Catholic Charities. I am so happy about my final guest, Mr. Richard Regali. He is the president of the Assistant Living Rehab, working with our seniors at the St. Elizabeth Rehabilitation and Nursing Center with Catholic Charities. Thank you, Mr. Regali, for joining me this morning to speak about senior care, to help us better understand what our plan is, living long and well.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to let our audience know that I'm not an expert in senior care, but I wanted to be a part of the conversation so I, as well as our listeners, can learn more. Aging is inevitable, and we are lucky enough, especially during this pandemic. But like we all know, the aches and pains set in. And then there are things like osteoporosis, stiff joints, arthritis, and all those things that take some of our independence and joy out of living a long life. What's your plan for your body and your mind as you age? How can we be sure you'll live happier, healthier, and not just a long one? That's what we'll be talking about with Rich today. And again, thank you, Richard, Mr. Rich, for joining me today to address some of these issues. And I just wanted to know, can you give us a brief background of your expertise in this area?
Absolutely. I'd love to. One thing I love to do is talk about myself. I listen very well when I do. My name is Richard Regali. I'm a physical therapist, actually, a geriatric specialist. My history, if I could be as consolidating as possible, goes back to third grade. I started weightlifting and training as a Greco-Roman wrestler. I had a father who served in World War II as a Marine, and he was very into that one-on-one fitness. As time went by, I later on started studying dance when I was age 16, ballet, jazz. By 22, I became a fitness and aerobics instructor. And then by age 30, got my master's in physical therapy and later continued my education to become a geriatric specialist. Since then, I've been, 1994, I've been actively treating as well as owning and running assisted rehab.
Wow. Wow. Third grade. That is really far back. I don't even know. If I knew, I mean, I think I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to help people, but I wasn't sure, you know, what I really wanted to do. But thank you for that, Mr. Regali. And now we know that you are definitely able to help us to understand senior care and long living. So the baby boomer generation is gradually stepping into the shoes of their parents that are the World War II generation. Have been occupying. Your job is to help them to live and move better. What are you finding to be the most common challenges to that for most people?
Well, at this point, you know, I think something that's very relatable to the generation we're trying to maintain their activity is two people that come to mind, Jack LaLanne and Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people had seen Jack LaLanne back in the day, and some people did engage in activities with him. And Dick Van Dyke I bring up because today he is promoting something that I totally agree with. Mm-hmm. He has a book even out on Keep Moving.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things I think that people can do is to keep active, keep moving. You don't have to exercise. You don't have to have a regimen. So either or of these will help. So the first and foremost is to try to bring awareness and educate the population as to why they should be doing it, the benefits, and then offering something they can relate to, which is, again, Jack LaLanne, and that's specifically actually exercises and eating right and overall wellness. Mm-hmm. Or if that doesn't strike a chord, Dick Van Dyke is doing fantastic in his 90s, and he preaches, you just got to be active. You just got to keep moving.
Yeah. I truly believe that. I know that even now, like as a woman in her 30s, I try to keep active, because sometimes, especially during the pandemic, we tend to just become a little lax and not really move because we can't really go out the house. But just, you know, walking around your living room, going from your kitchen to your bathroom, just taking even small steps to help you to get your body together for that long walk that you might take at the end of the week for your day or two out, just a 15-minute walk to the end of the mailbox or the end of the driveway or just to the end of the block will definitely help to help. So I truly agree with that.
I'm glad you mentioned the COVID, because that is a unique thing. I'll tell you what's happened with that. Whether in a facility, continued care facility or not, there was a lot of lockdowns or just activity restrictions, which led to social isolations caused by COVID. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself has resulted in a significant functional decline in a lot of people. And with that comes decreased safety, sometimes resulting in falls. Right. So it is, and it is making it much more challenging to remain active, to remain healthy, remain fit. We're seeing it on all levels. People who at one time went to exercise gyms and lifted weights and were highly active, mm-hmm. are no longer able to go to those gyms, can't do those activities. So they're still functionally independent. They're still getting around, but nothing to the level that they were once before. So they have to change their lifestyle and their way of doing things in order to at least maintain what they've worked for so hard and for so long. And then you have the other population, when people were very limited or their activity level was kind of low, they were borderline. Those are the bigger concerns, because they have nowhere to go once they start to decline.
Right.
When they decline, some of them can't live alone anymore. Some can't stay in assisted livings or independent livings because they're no longer able to function on that level.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. We have to be honest about one of the biggest barriers to wellness in advancing age, which is affordability. Between prescriptions, healthcare, physical therapy, gym memberships, it can be very difficult. What kinds of costs can people expect?
Well, it varies quite a bit. And I start off with, how about you do something with education, which costs nothing. Mm-hmm. Educating people on being active again, whether it be exercise or just activity of daily living and getting around and doing more. That's the first and foremost, helping people understand. The bigger challenge I find is once you do educate people to that degree, in order to sustain, which is very important, sustain that activity level or sustain exercising, they have to have a reason. And the reasons can evolve over time, most of which with the older population, I say it is related to the health. Even arthritis with activity, osteoarthritis seems to lessen during that activity, keeps the heart stronger. Sometimes you can even decrease the amount of medication needed. It's been proven that aerobic activity can decrease your cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So some people might have had high cholesterol or borderline that might have needed medication, do not. As far as course of medications and things like that, I wouldn't know. I can't kind of speak on that behalf. I'm not an expert in that. But regarding their activity level, most things can be done just simply in the home or in the community on their own. And it's just a matter of reaching out to find out who can help them just begin the process, which is part of what we do at all our continued care centers.
Wow, that's some good information. Okay, what are the best things someone in their 70s can do to advance their wellness?
Okay, well, that's a great thing you brought up when you said 70s, because this is what I even include in my therapy for my personal use, as well as all those who work for me. Mm-hmm. I use age as a guideline, but not definitively. I recognize people in their 70s who were in worse shape than somebody in their 90s and vice versa. Yeah. It does vary quite a bit. It's almost as if the beginnings of our life and the end of our life, years seem to make a big difference. And what I mean by that is someone who's 15 years old can't date really somebody who's 25 and have a lot in common, right? That 10-year difference is huge. But somebody 30 could easily date somebody 40. Same with your physical wellness. Someone 15 normally can't compete on a physical level, say in sports, with somebody 25. The difference is too great, but 40 to 50, not so. But it again happens later in life. But it comes down to what you're doing at that point in life. So a 70-year-old and a 90-year-old should be very different, but based on what they've done up to that point, and unfortunately, sometimes it's a lot to do with just our genetics, there's a huge variation. So there's no cookie cutter recipe I could give anybody to say, if you're in your 70s, do X, Y, and Z, or if you're in your 90s, do this, that, and the other. It really is very individualized. And with that, one of the things, hydration, across the board, 70 or 90, people often are dehydrated. Almost always when somebody does go to the hospital, one of the diagnoses is dehydration. Mm-hmm. Hydration is tremendous to keep your mind sharp, to keep your body well. So hydration is the easiest thing to do. Just constantly throughout the day, take a little sip here or there or a couple of ounces of water. The next is, what activity level are you at? And then progress from there in a safe manner, meaning you shouldn't do anything that hurts. Sometimes even stretching can cause a little discomfort if we're very tight, or lifting weights can cause muscle discomfort. That's different than pain. You shouldn't experience pain. Otherwise, you're doing something wrong or the activity is too stressful on your joints. Mm-hmm. But having said that, where they start is a good foundation to do very functional things based on what their level is. So the last thing I'll comment is, I mentioned function. I think functional exercises are the best, not necessarily weight training, functional activities such as sitting in a chair, rising up and sitting back down, doing that a couple of times and resting, because that's how your body functions when you go to get from a chair to standing. That's exactly what you're doing. Or if you have access to a railing, you can walk sideways and walk forward and backwards and do things that you normally do in a day. That helps not just strength, but also balance. So do things that are functionally tied in, and I think that you'll find that your quality of life is enhanced.
Okay. So looking ahead to later years, what about someone that's just in their 40s or 50s or even 60s? How can they advance their wealth looking ahead to getting to be in their 70s or 80s?
Well, you have two things to look at no matter what age you're at. One is your cardiovascular fitness, and the other is your strength, you know, weight training type of strength. Most younger people focus on a strength. You know, when they're in their 20s, they want to have a washboard stomach, or they want to have big biceps and things like that. And that has its purpose, but the most important, no matter what generation you are, is the cardiovascular. And here's why. Cardiovascular gives you energy. Cardiovascular also is the only thing that metabolically can change how fast you metabolize fat, how you burn off sugars. It helps balance blood pressure. So cardiovascular, if I was going to do one of the two, I would do that primarily. The weight training and all that is still fine if you wish to do it. My recommendation is do something that's sustainable. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, if you're in your 40s and you're running outside every day as a form of exercise, that's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of impact on your joints. Over time, you will not be able to do it anymore. So what you need to do is do things that are not going to wear out your joints that you could say are sustainable. I'm not saying that when you run earlier, later on, you're always going to be able to run. But if you do it on, say, grass or on a treadmill, or you don't do it every day, allowing your body to rest, you'll be able to continue that type of activity way into your years, far beyond somebody who's what they call overtraining. So do training or exercising that is sustainable, that it doesn't wear out the joints or cause unnecessary stress, that you're going to have problems later on. Like so many athletes, and I think we're all aware of, like, years back, football players, you know, they were great athletes, but in their late 40s, they could barely walk because their knees are shot or their hips are shot because of all of what they've done prior to, not just the game, but even their training. Yeah. So the younger population, Equally as important to do exercises then, create good lifestyle habits, but do things that aren't going to wear out your joints.
So would you say that low impact exercise such as walking would be good to do even now as a young person to prepare for that old, so you don't work out your joints too much?
I think it has to do a lot with what activity level you're currently at, because somebody in their 40s who walks, if they're very out of shape or obese or whatever, that might be an activity that is actually very healthy for them in a multitude of ways. But somebody else who's very active, walking in and of itself doesn't do a whole lot, because they're much higher level than just walking. Okay. So starting with where you're at, walking may or may not be helpful for you. Mm-hmm. If you are somebody who's high level and you're concerned, well, what does that mean? Walking doesn't do enough for me, but I don't want to wear out my joints. Exercise, bicycle, great activity. Okay. Swimming, great activity. Elliptical machine, great activity. Running, I would recommend a treadmill, because okay. treadmills have a lot of give in them. So therefore, it helps preserve the joints much better. If you're going to run outside, I would run on grass, not asphalt. If you have to run on asphalt, I would limit it to once a week. And the other 2 days, you can mix and match things. You could do the running, and then another day do bicycling, another day do an elliptical. If you don't have access to any equipment, it's nothing but running, then I would, again, say you really need to run on grass. Do not keep running on asphalt.
Okay. That's good. That's good information. Thank you.
All right.
You work in physical therapy, and we know that physical health, mental health, and emotional are tied. What are some things that we should know about how they will tie together as we age?
Well, one is just exercise or activity in and of itself usually allows more socialization. Doesn't always. You could do these things in your home, in your privacy, by yourself. But most of the time, older individuals in our community care centers, some of them have walking groups. So they go around. So there's a social activity in and of itself. The body as well responds very well. You know, people are often concerned with their memory, short-term memory. You hear a lot of people say, oh, my memory is not as good as it used to be, even at my age, 56, right? Okay. Well, when you exercise, you increase blood flow and oxygenation to the brain. The hippocampus is responsible for your short-term memory. They actually have done MRI studies that shown with proper diet, exercise, and some mental things such as reading or doing crossword puzzles, they have increased people's memories and looked at MRI that showed the hippocampus got bigger. So they now actually have proof, concrete evidence, that exercise coupled with diet, staying hydrated, doing some mental activities, and also getting rest. You should get your proper rest. That's very important. These things all combined can lead to a much better mental health state as well as your memory.
Yeah, that's good. I remember when I used to canvas for a little side job that I did back in the day, the manager, she used to tell us, like, when you hydrate, you're not hydrating for that moment. You're hydrating for 3 or 4 hours after that. So when you say, oh my goodness, I'm so thirsty, that means that you're dehydrated, and you right now you need to, you know, drink some fluids and make sure that you hydrate so that you're okay for the next few hours. And then I believe within those hours, you still should be hydrating or taking a couple sips of water just to make sure that you don't become thirsty or don't become dehydrated later on as you're, you know, just going about your daily life or daily activities. So that's really good information.
Yes.
Okay. So this is my last question. I'm so sad. A lot of people have aging parents who feel like their aches and pains will get worse instead of better if they try some of the things that you say they should do. How can adult daughters or sons encourage and help their aging parents to move more?
Well, one of the things is depends on where they are. For instance, mm-hmm. continued care centers, which is what we serve typically, have rehab there. Whether they get the therapy or they just simply speak with the therapist, That can begin once again with the educational aspect, and we can help either the families directly by telling them, let me talk to your mom or dad directly, mm-hmm. or indirectly, we could say, you know what, I would suggest this, that, or the other when you have a conversation with them. Because the educational aspect of it is you first have to help them understand that this is something that I'm not saying necessarily will make them live longer. I do believe we have genetics that we're going to live only to a certain point. Mm-hmm. But we, unfortunately, without doing the right thing, can die much sooner. And most important, our last years are not quality. So you want to explain, don't you want to continue doing what you're doing? And they'll say, yes, of course. Say, well, this is one way to maintain that. And the next is helping them understand that this won't take a lot of time. And it's just basic stuff that you want to start with. And it should not and would not hurt. If there's pains, that's when I went back to discomfort is different than pain. Mm-hmm. So again, it goes back to that educational aspect. And hopefully they have access to a rehab facility or someone along those lines that could be a further use to say, you know, if you can't come to a rehab, or you don't belong to a gym, here's some functional exercises that you could do within your home. You know, standing calf raises, to sit to stand from the chair. Very basic things. Those functional activities coupled with just remaining active is all that is needed, really.
Yes. Okay, well, this is the end of our podcast. That we gained some great information. I want to thank my guest again, Mr. Richard Regali, the president of Assistant Rehab, working with our seniors in the St. Elizabeth Rehabilitation and Nursing Center, for taking the time to speak with us today about senior care and senior living. Thank you all for listening, and I hope that you've learned something vital today, some vital information to share with your loved one. I know I learned some vital information just to have going forward. I'm going to definitely do some more walking and make sure that I keep my joints active so that when I get older in age, I won't ache as much and some things won't, you know, stiffen up because I haven't been moving the way I should be doing. So thank you again, Mr. Regali, so much for taking this interview with me. I truly appreciate you giving us your time and so much information to just work on and null over and just chew on and just work it out. I hope that you've learned so many things today. Stay tuned to more topics and more podcasts this week, and be sure to check them all out. I would love for you all to be safe and have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Goodbye.